Hi, this is Lauren Jubilier, and I am here with the Cancer Solstice Astrology Update. And before we begin, I thought we could do a little centering and a connecting with the solstice sun and feeling it for ourselves, having a direct experience before I get into a lot of words and concepts. So why don't you just take a few deep breaths. And I invite you to acknowledge and honor and invite in your higher self, the powerful forces of nature, the elementals, earth, the spirit of earth, the spirit of fire, the spirit of water, the spirit of air, and the spirit of sacred space. Let's create a sacred space to meet in. Sense, imagine, and feel a root system growing from the bottoms of your feet and the base of your spine down into the earth, grounding you and assisting you and rooting into the deepest places, deep into your bones, some of the wisdom and information that I'm going to share, and also all of the activations and initiations and energetic realignments that are happening now. We invite this root system to just support us in rooting this as deep as we can and transforming our experiences into lived wisdom and sharing that wisdom with full heart, with ourselves, living from that wisdom as best we can. And when it seems as if we're actually living from an old story, that we just take a few deep breaths and recenter ourselves and offer some compassion and self-forgiveness. So feeling those roots again. Now imagine that above you is the beautiful solstice sun, golden light. Sense and feel and experience this light of the solstice sun radiating down. And in your next breath, breathe that light into your heart and exhale through your whole body. And one more time, breathing that golden light, soft, into your heart. Exhaling through your whole body. Placing your hand on your heart and your awareness inside. What messages does the solstice sun have for you? Taking a few deep breaths. And if you need to pause the recording, do so. And I will get on with sharing all this information. So, at the time of the Cancer solstice, which is when the sun moves into 0 degrees Cancer, which is on June 20th at about 10-ish in the evening in the Eastern time zone, maybe 10:10. Solstices heightens the energy grid of the planet, where we have celebrations of the sun. And we also are having, just coincidentally, a huge amount of very strong solar flares leading up to the solstice and throughout early June. I mean, throughout June and then really intensifying the week of the solstice. And so not only are we working with the heightened energy grid of the planet that always happens at solstices and equinoxes, but we are also working with these solar flares that really affect the grid of the planet, and it affects the grid of your body. You may experience spaciness, deep fatigue, ringing in your ears, trouble sleeping, because the energy is just amped up. And our bodies and the earth are being asked to absorb and assimilate and digest and find and ultimately rebalance into a much higher, a larger capacity to hold light. And as you know, that means that what is more dense within us will be, I kind of liken it to a pot, and that we've been doing this for quite a while, but this solstice, it's a really strong, very deep, going into the places, especially inside of our heart, where there is some density, some holding of old patterns, so old that they may be ancient and they may be associated with tribal lineage, ancestral, ancient, as well as just your this life, past lives that are coming up to be held in a greater and increasing capacity for you to access love, self-care, and to access that love that is expanding from source. So the sun is moving into Cancer, 0 degrees, but Jupiter, a planet that Jupiter moves into a new sign every year, and it is called the year star. It is the teacher, what we are learning about this year, themes for this year. And just so happens that Jupiter also moved into Cancer on June 9th. So at the time of the solstice, Jupiter and the sun are together. And so Jupiter expands and magnifies whatever it touches. And so Jupiter is really expanding the mysteries of Cancer. So let's dive deeper into what the Cancer mysteries are about. Well, first of all, the Cancer mysteries invite us to soften and to allow the wisdom that comes from our heart to expand. Cancer is about connecting with Big Mama, the Divine Mother, and is about the capacity to be responsible and care for those that we love, to empathically know what they need so that we can provide for them the way a mother does, a healthy mother for her children. What do others need to feel loved, to feel safe and secure, to be willing? What do we need to be willing to go into those places where we don't know, where we're vulnerable, and where we need to be held? Cancer is also about the capacity to nurture not only people, but creative projects, communities, gardens, animals, though, and of course, our family, our friends, and children. It is also about learning to be at home within ourselves and learning to be with ourselves. Cancer invites us to practice self-care, self-love, and creating a space within ourselves to be vulnerable, to not know, to let the waves of this watery energy. Cancer is from the water element. So it's waves and waves. Jupiter's just expanding these waves and waves of watery Cancerian, very emotional energy. Cancer is about emotional intelligence, but also Cancer is just very emotional. Being connected to our feelings, wanting to feel safe and secure at a time in the world where stability and safety and security are not guaranteed, and in fact are getting very, it's very shaky. Nevertheless, there's this expansion of the capacity to connect with that feeling held and loved, that feeling of that presence within us that can hold it all. And that's the invitation. So Cancer has to do with home, with roots, family, with our ancestors, heart consciousness, and invites us to find stability and security within all the chaos and instability that we are, that is in the world now. Heart medicine. We are absolutely being given doses of heart medicine with this solstice energy. And my experience with heart medicine is that it takes us into those places in our hearts where we're holding something that hasn't been seen, hasn't been felt, but it's ready. And the heart medicine also delivers to us the capacity to be in a sea of love while we are simultaneously experiencing some deep pain. And it's hard to do that if you're running around and you're really busy or if you're in your head a lot. So I would say over the weekend, give yourself the gift of not doing very much, slowing down, taking your energy inward, letting feelings come up, bringing your awareness into your heart and inviting that heart medicine in to show you, to support you, to love you through expanding your heart. And expanding your heart means expanding it to the places in your heart that are contracted, that are ready to release. It's really, so I teach shamanic journey classes, and we met this week and we actually did a journey into our heart, and we invited in the solstice energy and some of the other energies that are present now that I will be talking about, like Neptune and Saturn that are squaring the sun, that are in Aries. And this is a signature when Neptune is conjunct Saturn. It is about bringing in waves and waves of spiritual energy and light, cosmic light, love, into physical reality. I will get into this more, and it's about more than just that. Just that. it encompasses more than that. I'm going to get really into it. But so we invited Neptune, which is like this dolphiny blue, you know, waves of incredible compassion and love into our heart. And I was amazed at some of what happened in the sharing, was that people really felt, you know, we've all had experiences in therapy or coaching, in our own inner work, where we identify patterns, we identify beliefs, we even maybe change our behaviors and we can change our lives, but we don't necessarily always get to access. So for example, children, a child who may have been neglected or abused may have developed a master narrative. I'm unworthy of love. I need to tend to other people's needs in order to create safety for myself, lifelong pattern of abandoning self, or lifelong pattern of feeling like one did something wrong to deserve it. And even though all the therapy and even, you know, all of the work, all the spiritual work, one knows that that's not true, but one maybe still has those feelings that come up. And what happened, I'm thinking of one particular sharing. What happened is this one woman said, all the work that I've done, I've never actually experienced my innocence in a full body, my innocence and my sweetness and the pureness of that inner child that is filling my body now. And I'm sharing this story with you because this is There's so much about this solstice that offers opportunities to dissolve patterns that have been very long-standing and expanding into a much higher, into an embodied, a full-bodied feeling of one's essence, one's life's essence, filling and the qualities. It's one thing to know what love is. It is another thing to know what it is like to act. What would love do? What would kindness do? But it's another thing to fill oneself up with the quality, the felt sense of love, the felt sense of kindness, and to let that direct you. And so this summer, because these energies are really carrying us through the summer, yes, there's a lot of instability, there's a lot of change, there's a lot of collective trauma playing out, and a lot of change. There is also these waves of very rare energies that are very loving and very dissolving, that are wanting to take you into places inside of yourself that you haven't been, and expand love there, and to release where you haven't maybe been able to for eons. And to move beyond the past so that you can step into all of the new cycles that are starting. I hope that makes sense. I also want to tell you that the heart is really activated, just really activated during this. The heart has 5,000 times more electricity than the brain. Amazing. In our chakra system, our first three chakras connect us to the earth, and our fifth, sixth, seventh, and beyond connect us to spirit, heaven. The heart, the fourth chakra, is where heaven and earth meet. And that is very interesting because Saturn conjunct Neptune is the meeting of heaven and earth, is the meeting of spirit and physical reality and earthly reality. And here we are in this very heartful place at the solstice with all this Cancerian, soft, loving, nurturing, feeling, watery energy. So in order for us to nurture others and our creative projects, we really need to nurture ourselves. In order to empathically meet the needs of those we love, we need to learn how to offer all aspects of ourselves empathy, love, and care. And so I ask, what are you nurturing in your life? What seeds have you planted that you are now tending and growing? And what do you want to give your life more fully to? Other questions would be, where do you let love in? And where are there places that you really can allow yourself to allow more love in, and to extend more love? So Jupiter expands whatever touches, and so whatever we're feeling, Jupiter can expand that. And so it's very important to move into a place of not ignoring what's happening in the world, but to place your attention on the immediate surroundings that you are in. So, for example, right now I'm seeing flowers and birds and blue skies. I am not in this moment in any obvious danger. I'm hearing the birds chirping. We need to, where our attention goes, our energy goes, and not just that, but where our attention goes, our neural pathways follow. So we, yes, stay informed, but also take the time to nourish yourself and bring yourself into a place of being present. And I will tell you another story that one of the women who came to my class this week was sharing, that she's a healer and she's connected to a healer in Israel who is currently in a bomb shelter hearing bombs going off and is absolutely not safe. And yet she and her friends in the bomb shelter were spending their time doing connecting with their inner perpetrator and extending love and compassion to the archetype of the perpetrator, And dissolving that energy and extending love to all involved in the conflict, to seeing their heart beyond the conflict, the innocence beyond all of the conflict that is thousands of years old, that is held in the land, that is being reenacted now. And if I figure if they can do it in a bomb shelter, we can do it wherever we are. And in fact, it's very important that we do. So I also want to talk about other aspects of this chart. So we've got two very rare astrological signatures in the chart, and they're called hands of God or hands of fate. And they are two very thin triangles that are supported at the base. And what's at the top is really being amplified. The energies are being amplified. So, and they're rare. And it's very interesting that we have these rare aspects. I will give you the astro babble of that, but I don't want to focus on it. It's formed by two planets that are sextile, forming the base, and they're forming the strength. And then the two lines that form the thin lines of the triangle are 150 degree angles to a third planet, which is at the top. And it's that third planet that's really being activated. And at the top is Pluto and Mars. And it's creating tension. So the bottom provides stability and connection and support. And the top is being challenged to integrate the Mars energies, this and Plutonian energies. So this, you know, Pluto is about death, rebirth, transformation, getting rattled, being taken to very deep places to transform them. And Mars is this, we'll talk about Mars a little bit more later, but just Mars is actually coming out of 9 months of a retrograde loop where Mars spent the past 9 months in Cancer and Leo. And now, just a few days ago, finally entered Virgo. And Mars happens to be at a very interesting place in the sky. Mars is in the constellation of the lion, right at the heart of the lion, where there is a royal star called Regulus. Regulus is the royal stars are associated with different archangels. So the archangels are that is associated with Regulus is Archangel Raphael, the angel of healing. And so we've got this drive, masculine, divine masculine energy sitting at the heart of the lion, connected to the healing energies of Archangel Raphael, who is a healing angel. And Virgo has a lot of healing energy within it. The higher octave of Virgo is about being a medicine maker, is about being connected to spirit and serving spirit through one's sacred work and one's sacred work and harvesting all of the lessons and being able to take action. But the shadow of this is being very critical and judgmental and perfectionist. So we are all sort of transmuting that. But what I want to say without, it, you know, the actual important part of this is that we are connected to the divine masculine that is connected to this archangel of healing that we can access for support. And there is a lot of shadow Mars energy afoot, and that is war. But there's other energy. So how can we access the heart of courage and the heart of healing within us and around us and in the transformational sort of support team on the other side, the archangel level of energy that's there to support us. So what else I want to say? Oh, so what I also want to just say about the chart is the moon is in Taurus and Venus is in Taurus and the moon is squaring Pluto. So there's this, again, very deeply emotional energy that we really need, that we are transforming some very deeply rooted very, very ancient fear to release it so that we can access our courage. We can access more of the multidimensional light that is being offered. So, what else do I want to say? Venus and the moon in Taurus. Taurus, both Taurus and Cancer like stability. Taurus is all about being connected to the divine feminine in form, embodiment, pleasure, sensuality, being in a moment of deep appreciation of the beauty of the natural world and life, and taking it in and digesting it and nourishing oneself, the power of a sunset. Taurus loves to experience those moments of pleasure as long as possible. And so, meanwhile, we have Pluto there with the moon, and there in this yod, that is, Pluto is the acute perception of what is missing and feeling that. And what is missing is stability. And what is missing is the care and love for all people that Cancer, Big Mama, wants, and especially for those that are vulnerable. And replaying old paradigms of power over and competition and revenge and, a lot of cruelty. And so the divine feminine loves all her children, but they're fighting and warring with each other. So within yourself, this energy will take you into places of challenge, but it has the potential to provide this profound release. We really are at this point of being able to dissolve and let go of very deeply held patterns that have to do with the acute perception of what we think is missing, and stepping into a much larger, in every moment there it, we can take in, we can offer beauty, we can offer kindness, we can offer love. And we may not always be able to do that in every moment. And we may have to learn some new skills. And with these new skills, as we practice them, we may kind of mess up a little bit in terms of how we communicate compassionately with one another, for example. So Pluto is an Aquarius, and Pluto is all about authenticity, freedom, higher consciousness. Lots of breakthroughs into higher consciousness and living from that place, breakthroughs in technology and medicine. And Pluto in Aquarius is transforming us and our culture over the next 20 years. However, usually when Pluto enters a new sign where it's going to be for the next 20 something years, again, we see the shadow. So the shadow of Pluto in Aquarius is technocrats, noticing that we have no privacy because our phones are tracking everything we say and do and where we go. And the fear, and when Pluto first dipped into Aquarius, literally that week, artificial intelligence, I can't remember the name of which company, came out, Chat GPT, something like that. And it was like everywhere in the news. And I was like, wow, so we're dealing with what is this? And how do we transform some of this into, of course, there will be many ways that all of this creates positive changes in our culture. And there are also ways that as we, that there, that that's not true, right? And that there's some, that we're transforming this archetype over the next 20 years, and it is transforming us. So, the chaos of all of this is intended to help us integrate healing and rebalance us at a very deep level so that we can start a new cycle without dragging so much of the past with us. This is this Plutonian energy that's very present at the solstice. It's energetic, it's deep. It holds the potential for so much profound change, and it requires that patterns get pushed up to the surface. And the solstice sun with Jupiter and the solar flares are all contributing to heightening and expanding and magnifying all of this. Let's see. So we are being challenged to have our words and our actions and our thoughts transforming to reflect the wisdom of our hearts, the wisdom of the big mama within us, and to be responsible nurturers of ourselves, others, and this planet. So, in some ways, we are experiencing these old patterns to experience much more capacity to experience fulfillment and to create a more loving, nurturing, and beautiful world where we have the capacity to truly listen and to truly hear one another, to cultivate empathy, because that is a huge Cancerian quality, is empathy. And that is something with this Pluto energy. It's like, what is the acute perception of what's missing? Well, a lot of in our culture, we're not really listening to each other very well. We're pointing at each other. We're divided. And the healing of this will require us to listen to one another and to be willing to feel what it might be like to be in that other person's shoes, how that other person might have come to the conclusions, and not to see that person as a bad person. And I don't really, that, you know, and so the zeitgeist moving into our culture is about learning how to cultivate compassion and empathy and deep listening to another person's life experiences and their feelings about it, as well as building our capacity for deep listening to our own heart's wisdom, our own intuitive guidance, as well as the pain within us that needs to be heard and offered this heart medicine of unconditional love, presence, and listening, which does dissolve it, lets it move, and then our hearts expand into territory that's beyond what we've known in terms of love as we step into a new potential with these rare alignments. These sacred geometries are forming at solstice, those two yods. And over the next 3 months, they're very active as we step into our potential to birth new realities. So when I say that this is compassion and empathy and listening is the zeitgeist of our culture, I don't think it's really going to be helpful to like look at the mainstream of the culture to try and see is this there? It's really more for people like you who are learning how to understand the larger cycles that we're in and how can we consciously participate with these cycles to further our own evolution. And so you'll see in many groups of people who are spiritual groups, community groups, all kinds of groups of people that are expanding awareness and consciousness, that we can talk about kindness and empathy and love and compassion, but actually putting it into action, we have to be willing to look at and experience our inability to sometimes do that and to learn new things. To learn new, and I just want to say the image I have with this is when I remember teaching my son how to ride a bicycle, a two-wheeler from training wheels. And every time, you know, I'd let go, we did it on the grass so he wouldn't really get hurt. He would fall and he would fall and he would fall until finally he learned. But what happens with us when we're trying to put like high concept? Living from love, living from intuitive guidance, living from the awakened heart. It all sounds awesome, but when we try and do it, like that child on the training wheels, we do fall down. We do say something out of anger or unkindness. And we need to be like the mother who's teaching her child, the healthy mother, who is like encouraging, try again. Eventually, you're going to get better at this. You're learning new skills. And I'm focusing on learning new skills because of this Jupiter squaring Saturn and Neptune now and the Sun. So we've got the Sun is being amplified by Jupiter that's expanding at this solstice moment and throughout the season. This moment is extended, squaring the conjunction of Saturn and Neptune and Aries. And this is about breaking new ground and birthing new realities where we are on the threshold of what once was and what will be.
We are feeling into what is emerging. We are letting go of our stories, and we're letting go of our past experiences, which are now much more easily dissolved, because this energy is an energy about dissolving. It's like we've got this medicine. It's like we've got this magic wand that if we're willing to touch deep in, that magic wand will help us to dissolve. And Saturn, and that magic wand is Neptune, that dissolving high consciousness, high frequency spiritual energy of love and compassion and dreams and visions and that felt sense that love is real, that love is the only real reality. And Saturn is like, wait a minute, yes, and how are you going to make that practical? How are you going to make that work? That's very lofty. That's very visionary. And Saturn is where we take visionary reality and we bring it down to earth. And whenever we do that, we have to be willing to make mistakes. We have to be willing to be perseverant and disciplined in learning how to do that, and be willing to take small, sweet steps and celebrating each of those steps, rather than like our, you know, the overwhelming feeling of the world is not bending to this, to the will of love, and being overwhelmed, rather than how can I take a small, sweet step today towards loving myself? How can I take a small, sweet step towards loving the earth? How can I take a small, sweet step towards listening better? And if it is hard for me to listen in this moment and I interrupt someone or I get mad at them while I'm supposed to be listening, to apologize and start again, or maybe take space. So Saturn slows this down. It is also... So the astrological signature of the solstice chart is dissolving stories and beliefs and energy that holds them in place, and polishing the awakened heart and cultivating love, but cultivating that physical reality, matter and form that Saturn brings, that is about truth-telling, that is about learning discipline, that is seeing where you need to challenge yourself in order to grow. So let's see. And of course, Jupiter is illuminating and expanding all of this. So we ask, where do you need to dissolve the boundaries and limitations within yourself, so you can connect more with your inner voice of wisdom and love and live from that place through actions? So we have this opportunity to live from our heart center and connect with our soul's path as a result of this Saturn conjunct Neptune time that we're in, which is throughout the summer, and then they will both move back into Pisces, and then they're both going to move back into Aries in February, and then Saturn will pull ahead. And so what I want to say about that is that we're going, these planets come together every 35 years, and 35 years ago, I was studying astrology. And I remember this was a big deal. And what was really being spoken about was the children that were being born with the astrological signature 35 years ago of Saturn and Neptune conjunct. And at that point, it was in Capricorn, dissolving the structures. And wouldn't you know it, that during that time, that is when the Berlin Wall came down. That is when Nelson Mandela was freed from prison. And apartheid started to dissolve and become dismantled. And that is when the internet really started to come in, which has dissolved so much and brought so. So also those children that were born then carry the signature, and they are now in their 30s. And they are now bringing this new awareness that they are, the new energy they are, into different structures and jobs and communities and families, and doing things very differently, because they are very different from us. They have a different energetic signature. So now I'm going back to Saturn is conjunct Neptune in Aries. And what's very interesting is that Saturn has made all of its conjunctions to Neptune all around the chart. And now it's starting again, and that takes hundreds and hundreds of years. We're starting a new season of human evolution that is seen in many signatures of the times that we're living in. And this is another one. It's a big one. Aries sparks new dream. Aries sparks new. Aries likes to get on with it too, and likes to do it first, and likes to go into new territory. And it's all about that original spark of the soul and the enthusiasm for incarnating here and now during this time and revitalizing that spark and living from that spark, which means living with a lot of courage. And looking at the walls that we've built based on the story of separation. And we've had to learn how to live in a culture that has, in the foundation of all of the family structure and the community structure and the schools and the governments, thousands of years of power over, greed, separation. And we are transitioning that. We are transitioning out of this. And so we are needing to look at repairing within us how we carry that energetically. And Neptune dissolves the energy. It's almost like imagine a stone circle that's holding the frequencies of reality. And now imagine this Neptunian, like iridescent, dolphin-y, wave-like form of light and love coming in and dissolving the stones and forming new stones that are actually iridescent, multidimensional, completely an energetic that is aligned to something that is being rooted now for the future. And you are the ones that are rooting it. And so, yes, there's going to be a lot of coming, what is coming up from those stones that is needing to be released and seen. And then Saturn's like, okay, now you need to do it differently, which means you might need to practice a few new skills. So we are repairing the foundations within ourselves so that care and support and empathy and responsible nurturing and enthusiasm and that spark can take root. And there is a lot of support for this at the base of those yuds, those sacred triangles. There's a lot of support holding us, and that includes that divine masculine at the heart of the lion. Radiating the energy of Archangel Raphael's healing and holding us through this time of incredible change, transformation, and opening to greater love. So let's see. So we're at a choice point. We're creating this deep listening, this connection, this love. But we're also seeing the cruelty and the discord and the othering that are manifesting from these old tribal energies at the same time. And it's our and we are choosing this, we are choosing to walk that higher path and choosing to notice that astrologically there's lots of support for this. We are being supported to cut the cords that bind us to these old ways. And we're getting pulled much more strongly as the light of our souls and body more and more, supporting us in changing our habits and learning new skills and learning to move towards what truly inspires us rather than what we've been told we should be doing or what a normal life looks like, to trust that inner voice of wisdom that's getting stronger and stronger and stronger because Neptune is about inner guidance, intuition. It gets so strong, it's hard to not follow when that voice gets so strong, opening up this path, that path, opening up new neural pathways as well. So at the solstice, the energies are very thin and the energies are heightened. And all solstices and equinoxes support transformation and metamorphosis. But we've got all the sacred geometry and this waves of Cancerian energy and this sun, the solstice sun, squaring Neptune and Saturn, which Neptune and Saturn are bringing in this, the world of spirit into form much more and asking and grounding a much higher vibration and reality than that's been able to be here before. and pulling up everything that's in the way. Now, the sun is at a place in the sky known as the Silver Gate, and Jupiter is there too at the solstice. And this is what's coming in from the edge of the galaxy. New ways of seeing and perceiving. The Silver Gate is in between the horns of the bull, the constellation, the horns of the bull, and the feet of the twins in the star, you know, in the stars of Orion. And the summer, the Cancer solstice sun can only be there every 26,000 years. And it, whenever the solstice points or equinox points are there, 13,000 years ago, it was the December solstice that was there. But because the earth is on a wobble, it changes through time. And we know from indigenous wisdom that whenever there is a solstice point at that place in the sky, that we're at the turning of an age. So this is just another indication that we're at the turning of an age. And with the Cancer points there, it, again, it's bringing in the frequency of the Divine Mother and love and heart consciousness. At the same time that the old systems of power are playing out, the revenge, the cruelty, the war, the suffering, the collapsing, all playing out at the same time. So the sun is sitting at this galactic edge, looking beyond for new energies. It is in what the Hopis called the sacred hoop, the hand of Orion. And it is where we know we are shifting into a new age, the turning of an age. And the sun is acting as a doorway, a portal, illuminating and opening portals. So there's layers and layers of big energy. Now, it isn't like the sun is at that place only now in 2025. It's been there since the late 1980s. It'll be there into the mid 2030s, and it'll be close enough to that point all the way to 2070 for many of us to the end of our life. So we are at this threshold point, ushering in these new energies throughout our lives. So with this, now I'm moving back to Saturn conjunct Neptune. And Neptune is that celestial realm of bliss, of love, of dreams, of intuitions, of high vibrations, emanating from this world of spirit, that felt sense that love is real, where visionary reality, visions, dreams, synchronicities, and grace, very high vibrations of the spiritual world, are meeting physical reality and dissolving and leveling up Saturn's structures. Dissolving structures. That's what we're in the midst of. There are also messages and new visions and dreams coming through. There's a lot of truth telling. There's the possibility for embodied states of love radiating through kindness, radiating through us like never before. But we must slow down, because it's not about what the idea of love is. It is the reality of the energy of love radiating through us. So we are learning how to respond peacefully and creatively to the big changes around us, and including to the aggression and cruelty that we see. And we are bringing this Neptunian celestial spiritual realm down to earth, making it practical, making it work, bringing it through into our foundations, and allowing ourselves to work through the challenges and the growth that are necessary to make these changes real. So what does living a life of love and action look and feel like? Well, we must be willing to sometimes be uncomfortable and make mistakes, and trust that there is a signature present that is supporting this willingness and this tenderness towards us as we learn, and supporting us in moving beyond the self-judgment that can come up when feeling like you're trying to learn a new skill and it's taking time. So we are on the cutting edge of culture We are the people bringing in the new paradigm. We are, as Joanna Macy says, at the great turning, where there is both unraveling, dissolving, and collapsing at the same time, that we are creating regenerative culture. And we are learning how to responsibly to respond with patience and tenderness and love and openness to our own humanness and to the humanness of the humans around us. There are so many resources for this. There's been so much training about nervous system regulation, somatic practices, parts work, spiritual practices that help us slow down and move into the world with more intuition and spiritual mastery. Tapping into Saturn's deep wisdom, helping us to really skillfully bring spirit into matter, to birth something new. What is worth saying yes to? Saturn wants us to figure that out. What is worth making new commitments towards from a strong sense of enthusiasm and knowing ourselves? Feeling what is coming from a sense of intuition and inner guidance rather than anything else. We can feel being tugged in new directions, many of us, but we may not have the whole plan because Neptune sometimes dissolves our sense of clarity. Neptune knows through feeling and inner guidance and through having faith and trust in that guidance without necessarily knowing the whole plan. Saturn makes plans and sets them into motion. They're traveling together. But Neptune is stronger. And so there may be like, I know I'm going to be doing this. I don't know how it's all going to work yet. I may have a vision. I may have a blueprint, but it's not time for it to come all together. And so it requires patience. By next March, they will have separated a little bit. And that Saturnian ability to meet the challenges, create the changes, bring things into manifest form will be stronger. So all that, you will be able to move forth with more clarity and forward motion. So questions, what is yours to do? What is in alignment with your soul path, your unique path? This, your future self is informing your current self on the most fulfilling path to take and how to get there in 2026, throughout 2026. There's still a lot of unknowns and changing realities. There's still a lot of new dreams and visions taking root, and there is a desire for something new. So we're like, also want to just say that if you've been experiencing a lot of shifting, this is a very embodied physio. It's like affecting us on a cellular level. And you're being asked to remember, because Neptune being constellated in with the solstice sun, it's squaring the solstice sun, Saturn, this spiritual world coming to meet the physical world. And with Pluto in Aquarius, and Aquarius is associated with beyond, above, higher consciousness, the galactics, the sky team. Our family beyond what we knew our family to be. And that would be our guide teams. And I think of us as the ground team. We're here. We're the ground team. You, like, imagine you're with your soul pod and it's before birth and you're like, okay, there's this amazing opportunity to be on the transition team. Planet Earth and all life upon it is evolving and moving into a whole. Who wants to go? And like, you raised your hand, but you were never to be here alone. You had an entire team supporting you, loving you, offering guidance, healing, synchronicities, incredible support, but they're invisible. They're not physical. They're your guide teams. And this, of course, many of you have been working with your guide teams, but this Neptune-Saturn signature is making it stronger. Be able to feel, hear, sense, and know them much more. Also wanted to bring your attention to that on June 25th, there'll be a new moon in Cancer. So everything that I'm saying is still very present, but now the moon moves into place and the moon conjuncts the sun and Jupiter and they square, making even stronger, this square to Saturn and Neptune. And, you know, Jupiter is just really expanding it. And Saturn is like, wait a minute. how are we going to do this? How are we going to make this work? And I'm a little worried about this. And hold down, slow it down. And so there's this waves of enthusiasm and expansion. And then how are we going to make this practical? So let's see, what else would I like to tell you about? I want to tell you a little bit more about Mars being in Virgo, because the south node of the moon is now in Virgo, and this is a place of release and let go. As I said before, Mars is in the heart of the lion, radiating this radiating courage to change and to shift and to harvest the energy of that medicine maker, and to bring in, to release some of the ways that we are judging ourselves and are perfectionist, and supporting us is into weaving a new web with spirit, and to heal, to heart heal, and to access enormous courage to harvest and bring into form. Virgo knows how to take the steps to bring things into form. So we're stepping into this higher octave of Virgo, which is about being in service to spirit, weaving luminosity and healing into the web of all of life, weaving these new dreams and visions that Neptune and Saturn conjunct are helping us to activate and bring into form. And this, our drive, our inner masculine, is helping to weave this into actions, into daily habits. Virgo's about bringing it into daily habits. It's a time of harvesting and taking responsibility to bring more of your luminosity and your courage and your heart into your daily life to help you see and walk the path of greatest beauty. There's more. Now, Uranus is moving into Gemini July 7th. And Uranus is at the last degree of Taurus at the solstice. And it's been in Taurus for 7 years. So all of these planets, Pluto, all of the outer planets have shifted sign in the past several months. And in 2025, they're all shifting signs. And Uranus is the last one. So we first had Pluto, and then Neptune, and then Saturn, and then Jupiter, and then Uranus. And so many, many of these planets are moving back and forth over the last degree of one sign and the first degree of a new sign, and back and forth. So Uranus is actually at a place in the sky that is conjunct the Pleiades. So it's like, oh my God, there's more. There's these huge conjunctions of these planets with major portals in the sky all at the same time. So the Pleiades are the seven sisters, the seven chakras. They are assisting us in bringing in a new culture, a new society. They've been where we are millions and millions of years ago, and they are assisting us in this transition. And and in shifting the energy in our chakras and in our meridians, Uranus is the great awakener. Uranus disrupts what needs to be shaken up and shaken loose. Now, Uranus happens to also be conjunct Sedna, which I have spoken about. I won't say that much more, except to say Sedna is the Inuit sea goddess. And she was a woman who was abused by her husband and then abused by her father. Eventually he cut off her hands and she fell into the sea, and she metamorphosized into a mermaid, and all her fingers became the sea creatures. And she is the symbol of metamorphosis. She is also the symbol of clinging on to old ways of doing things or old paradigms that are not nurturing, that are not bringing us into a time of thriving. She keeps climbing back onto that boat. And ultimately, she gets thrown in without her hands, but yet grace steps in and she metamorphosizes. And we are at that place. We are metamorphosizing into a new form. We have all this assistance that I've been talking to you about. So I do want to just say that with Uranus moving into a new sign in July 7th, this will increase the intensity of Uranus, which is about events of extreme novelty, sudden, unexpected, unpredictable events, surprises that allow us to perceive reality differently, that change the narrative, that change the story, that ultimately wake us up. There is a wonderful podcast called The Emerald Podcast on Spotify, and he has a whole thing about the trickster energy and how we need to be inviting the trickster in. Even though the trickster will do whatever, sometimes the trickster does fun stuff that we like, and sometimes the trickster disrupts things in ways we really do not like. So what else? So with Uranus in Gemini, there's really going to be new possibilities, higher mind for creativity and shaking loose, communication, friendships, communities, moving us into a much higher octave of how we communicate and how we are creative, and teaches us how to not take ourselves too seriously, learn it. Gemini really is about singing a new song and telling a new story and shape-shifting the energy into something entirely new. So we've got Uranus, which is already a shapeshifter and an awakener and a disruptor, moving into the sign that is also a trickster and a disruptor, but also enhances our ability to contact creativity. So I think that is enough for now. I'm going to do a guided meditation in a different audio to help you kind of digest some of this. And I wish you time to slow down, smell the flowers, to bring your awareness into your heart and invite that heart medicine in to dissolve some of the places that you're holding back from offering love and compassion to yourself and to the world, and to notice your dreams. And wishing you many, many blessings for solstice.